Well, I appreciate the spirit of the Lord that's here, don't you? I'll tell you what, that was a good message there, both messages. You talk about, Brother Darren talked about Brother Dathan saying the pressure was on. I tell you, the pressure's on to preach short this morning is what the pressure's on. And I'm not too good at it. I haven't hung around Scott Loper too long. Well, he's done gone. But I tell you what, I mean, really, you just get up here and it just doesn't take, I mean, it don't take long if you just... If you just get to it, does it? Really? Hallelujah. Sister Tammy, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I do appreciate the Spirit of the Lord here. And there's so much that could be said here in this place. It's good to be home. And I was thinking driving down the road yesterday in that hurricane force wind, maybe not hurricane force, but mini tropical storm force anyway. Battling it coming down the road. It felt like hurricane pulling that trailer down here for Brother Andrew. But whipping me around, I thought about a few years ago when Brother L.D. Savage was here and these sides weren't on this thing. And it come through one side and then in a minute it come through the other side. And we had rain, we had water, we had a mess in here. And I told Kamala, I said, it'd have been a stressful year this year to had it in an open air. But aren't you glad it's closed in here? And appreciate Brother Dathan, and there's so many good preachers here that could have done much better than me. And I appreciate everyone that's here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and I don't know how long they preached. Probably not over 15 minutes. So, but I'll know you're looking forward to hearing Brother Dwayne Gallagher. I think it's his first time being here, isn't it? Probably. And I've said this all over the country. I've said it when Brother Dwayne's been around. But Brother Dwayne has preached some messages, at least one, that changed my life and many more that have stuck with me. And I appreciate him being here today and his ministry. And it's just really been a help to me along with all you others. But I know you want me to get out of the way. I know you want to hear him. And so I will go as fast as I can. And just try to hit the high spots here and tell you what God dealt with me to tell you. Praise God. That's all that matters is what God says. You know, what I say don't mean a whole lot. I could be wrong. I have been wrong. But if we could hear what the Spirit is saying today. Did you come to hear from the Spirit today or did you come to be entertained? If you can, listen to me, if you can hear what the Spirit's saying today, you can leave here changed. You can leave here transformed by the power of God if you'll just have an ear to hear what the Spirit, if you don't care for my preaching, Joy Hyatt wrote a thing right before he died that helped me so much. He said, I've done concluded that when I take the pulpit, there's a lot of people that just don't care about hearing me. And I thought, well, dear Lord, there ain't no use of me ever striving to hit 100% if he can't. The way that guy could deliver and pull a crowd in. And you know what you mean? But listen to the Spirit today. What's the Spirit been trying to tell us already in this meeting here today? I believe he's doing something, Sister Minnie. I believe God's trying to talk to us today. I believe he is. Hallelujah. Doesn't take too much time here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him What's up with him and he with me? God bless you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Laodicea had a reputation. They had an image, a status, an appearance. They had a reputation for being self-sufficient. They were a very proud people. Anthony Lester said one time that somebody gave Troydon a $10, $10 bill when they were evangelizing. And he said when they got to the table that night, he said they were sitting there. And he said they got ready to say the blessing, and Troy said, "I got a $10 bill." He said, "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." That's all Troy thought he had ever need in life, that $10 bill at that moment. The Laodiceans, that was their attitude. We're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't need nothing. We got everything we need. They had this image. They had this reputation. Not only did they believe it, there were other people that believed it too, that were looking at them, at this image they had, at the status that they had. They had led themselves to believe that they were self-sufficient, that they could go it alone, that they needed nothing from anyone, that they had everything they need. They had this here. And then, one day the pastor went to the mailbox, and he got a letter. And he come home. He laid the letter out. He said, "Church, I got to talk to you. We got a letter in the mail today. And I'm troubled about the letter." And he said, "This is what the letter said. You think that you're rich. And you think that you're increased with goods. And you don't think that you need anything. But," he said, the facts are, the reality is that you are wretched, and you're miserable, and you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. That's what the reality is. The reputation says one thing, but the reality says something else. This is who you really are. This is who, you know what? When I was a little boy, I used to sit around all the time and watch Dad work with steel all my life. Steel is working with steel. And he welded and torched. Never did teach me to do it. I don't know what, but I sat there and watched a long time. And I've watched Dad many times take that torch and burn a hole through very thick steel. It might take him a little bit, but Brother Tommy, he'd get that steel heated up and turn it red hot. And a minute, man, he'd pull that other little lever underneath and it'd blow a hole through that. I'm going to tell you what does the Bible say about the eyes of Jesus? There has a flame of fire. I'm telling you, they can burn through reputation, and they find the reality when Jesus starts looking at us. I wonder if we got a letter this morning, what that God would say about our reputation. They burn through the facade. They burn through the status. They burn through what everybody else thinks. And it sees who you really are. Oh, hallelujah. And he told them. He said, "You're miserable. You're poor and you're blind. You're naked." Have you ever been somewhere like San Francisco? I'm watching the clock. Boy, you guys put the heat on me this morning. Maybe I'll learn something today. You ever been somewhere like San Francisco or Florida? I know you have, Atlanta. And you walk down through there, and you see homeless people. And they're just sitting all around. And they're so pitiful, Sister Tammy. They're so pitiful. They're sitting there and they're nasty and they're stinking and they may have some food and flies maybe on it, and a lot of them have an old dog there, and he may have the mange, and they may be curled up there, and I just think of all the different scenes that I have seen in big cities with homeless people. But you know what? There is one thing that when you see in a homeless community that just really grips your heart and is just so pitiful. And that's when you see somebody who is afflicted. You see somebody, maybe they're afflicted in their mind, and their feet are turned in, or maybe they're missing an arm, or I've seen it a lot of times. Maybe they're missing a leg, or maybe they're in a wheelchair, and they're there in that old bad condition, and they're poor, and they're not only poor and miserable, but they're afflicted, and they're in terrible shape laying there. Listen, that's exactly what that Jesus was saying right here. If you break these words down, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, this letter draws a picture of an afflicted, blind, naked, homeless man that was to be pitied. You think that you're living on Main Street. You think, oh hallelujah, you think that you got everything going your way. But when I look through, when I burn through the reputation and I see the reality, I realize that you're to be pitied. You're poor. You're blind. You're afflicted. You are in a desolate place and despondent. Oh hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, Brother Tommy. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Oh, wretched man. Who's going to help me? Who's going to come and rescue me? I've tried, but I can't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Had a reputation. But God sent him a letter of reality. And then he told him, here's the reason that you're where you're at. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Think about that picture. You've saw it many times. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ had been removed from the sanctuary and relegated to the porch. Amen. The emphasis was taken off of Christ and His presence and was placed on man and his performance. Amen. It may get a little quiet, but I can preach to you just a little bit. I'm trying to stop by 11:30, okay? Something, Sister Minnie, had become more important than Christ. When Brother Devin got up here last night and told about that Assembly of God preacher, God spoke this message to my heart last night, sitting right back there. If you saw me on my phone, I wasn't texting because I can't get service in here. But I was jotting down notes as the Holy Ghost was giving it. And you know what I felt God tell me? It's not the fog, and it wasn't the lights. There's no sin in fog and lights if you just want to get out here and do that. The problem is the emphasis became the fog and the lights. Really, I wonder if we look back down the road where the Assembly of God, if you're here this morning, I'm not meaning to be mean because I ain't done preaching yet. I might get to where we're at today, but I wonder somewhere back down the road, the Assembly of God started putting emphasis on something that was more important than Christ's presence, and His Spirit, and then His power moving in our midst. Hey, church, it's always been God that's made the difference among us. It's always been God. Without God, we're poor, and we're pitiful, and we're a mess. If we lose God, we lose everything. If we lose Christ. When you relegate Christ as unimportant, I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long until you're going to wind up wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. When you start building on other foundations, when you start making other things more important, you're going to find yourself in a bad place in a hurry. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Israel reduced God down, listen, they didn't choose another God. Oh no, we don't want another God. But they pulled him down. They pulled him down. There you go. Now we got you down here where we can relate to you. The Bible said they reduced him down to an ox that eateth grass. You know what they did, Uncle Jim? They made them, when they reduced God down to an ox of gold. When they said that ox of material gold is God. You know what God told Moses? He said, get down there, I'm going to kill them all. Yeah, stiff-necked, rebellious. Get down there, I'm going to take care of all of them. And Moses said, oh God, please don't do that. You know what the Egyptians will say? You know what the heathen nations will say? God said, okay, I won't kill them, but I'm not going with you anymore. My presence will not be with you. If you think that's what I am, and you relegate me to something small like that, I will not walk with you anymore. When you reduce God down and make him something you can put your hand, God said, don't you make an image of me. Don't you try to draw anything of me. I'm God and you don't know what I'm like. I'm God and I'm a jealous God. I'll either be in first place or I'll take no place at all. Man, these other guys have preached so kind and I feel like I'm up here just wailing. Boy, God touched me with this. And I've got to hurry. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to go up. If that's your idea of me, if that's what you think I am, if that's where you're going to place your emphasis, hey, y'all, I believe in baptism. But when the Church of Christ made it the rock of their salvation, they lost the presence of God. Come on, y'all. Come on. I'm telling you, when they started focusing on the things other than Christ, God said, I ain't staying here. I'm going out to the porch. I'll be out there knocking. But until you make me God, until you realize who I am, I won't be back. Listen, I got to get down here, hurry. But you know what happened? God said, I ain't going with you. And Moses said, Lord, you said you'd bring us up there, but you ain't let me know who you're going to send with us. And you said you know us, and we found grace in your sight. He said, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, hallelujah, show me now thy way that I may know thee. That I may know thee. You know what? We're struggling with Uncle Jim. We're in a third generation holiness. We're in fourth generation. My children are fifth generation. They know all the answers, but they've never learned the textbook. They know about him. They got head knowledge some. I'm not saying everybody, but we're struggling with having head knowledge and no heart experience. We don't really know who God is, and we've relegated him outside the door. We've said, God, we'll take this and this and this. Your presence is really irrelevant anymore. Your presence is irrelevant. Your power is irrelevant. Come on, y'all. Listen. Oh, God. You know what? I'm going to get ahead of myself here if I ain't careful. I want to move on. I got one more point to make. And I got to go. I borrow a phrase from a buddy of mine, John Isaac. He said, we wonder. They come to church and get saved. And then they're gone, Brother Tommy. They come to the stable, Brother Darren. But they never see the important thing. And they're gone. And John Isaac said, we say what got into them. He said, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's what never got into them. Hey, this morning, I ain't interested in being Calvinism. I ain't interested in preaching once saved, always saved. But I did come to preach. When you get Christ like you need to, He will make you want to serve Him. When you fall in love with Him and you abandon the world, you will serve God with your heart. The reason where there were emphasis placed on other things other than Christ. And God said, you're a miserable, afflicted, lame, wretched, homeless person. But He said, get back over here. But He said, I'm not going to leave you there. I got a remedy. I counsel thee. Come together and let us talk, little children. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Thank God for every rebuke from God. Oh, hallelujah. I think I'm going to make it, Sister Tammy. I'm getting close. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to make it. I counsel you to buy of me gold. The real thing. You know what? You know what I'm doing this morning? I'm preaching to several people this morning that down in your heart, you know you've bought in to the silver instead of going for the gold. You've bought into fool's gold. And you know what? It ain't working for you. You're struggling and you're warring. I felt like this morning I was going to be preaching to people that's confused because you don't have the gold. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? There was a time in my life, listen to me, and I'm gonna try to explain myself well right here where I'm not misunderstood. It's my home church right here, and I love this people. You better believe it. You better believe I do. Brother Tommy, I've been guilty of looking back on my life and saying, y'all listen to me this morning. I know you're looking forward to hearing Brother Gallagher, and we're fixing to get to him. We're fixing to get to Brother Gallagher in just a minute, okay? We're fixing to get to him. I blamed my backsliding on the Glory Barn, Brother Gene, for years. If my mom and dad had took me to more camp meetings, if we'd have had a pastor. Am I making you uncomfortable yet? Huh? If we'd have done this and we'd done that, I blamed it. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't the Glory Barn's fault. It was Dave and Burnett's fault. Because I never got down to business, Uncle Jim. I'd go down to the altar and pray and get me a haircut, throw away my country music, get rid of my television. But I still didn't have the gold.
Come on, y'all. Don't y'all accuse me of being liberal. I ain't no liberal then. But I'm going to tell you something. And I never could stay. And it wasn't long. I was right back to where I was. But there came a day. Glory bar or no glory bar. I'm going for the gold. I ain't going to stop until I get the gold. Woo! I'm telling you, if you want the gold, you can have the gold. You've been settling for the silver. You've been satisfied with the silver. And it's got you confused. It's got you mixed up. It's got your emphasis in the wrong place. But it's time to abandon everything else. Is that you back there, Cornbread? Hallelujah. I'm right at the time I need to stop. It's time. If you want the gold, you can have the gold. Brother Mike Wehart, the silver won't take the heat. It don't matter if you're a Burnett, or if you're a Glory, or a Gourley, or a Tolliver. Well, I got Aunt Lucy's. I'm just like Aunt Lucy. I just can't keep from telling people off when they come up against me. Well, I've got an immoral problem. It runs in our family. I'm going to tell you something. When you abandon your family line and you buy into the gold, when you abandon all that you can do, when you abandon your performance and you get founded on Christ and you buy the gold, you'll never be the same. Listen, I've been dealing with some preachers lately. Their wives control them. I can't stand it. Might be the wise way to be. I give in a lot more than I used to. Probably getting wiser. Maybe totally dominated one of these days. I don't live the way I do. Because my wife puts pressure on me. I don't live the way I do. Because the president of the club I'm hanging out with said, boy, you better do it. No. I don't live the way I do to try to increase my salary. I'm going to tell you something. There came a day several years ago, Brother Tommy, when I got tired of settling for the silver. And I said, I'm going to go for the gold. There came a time when I got tired of getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down. My God, you can get up and stay up if you'll buy into the gold, if you'll abandon the silver and get you some gold. You've been fooled. I've been fooled too. Been fooled, Brother Tommy. The devil said, you ain't got to pay that kind of price. You ain't got to do that. No, you don't have to. And you may last a long time. You may go a long time and nobody ever know it. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. If you're satisfied with the silver and you're not willing to go for the gold, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find yourself in a place where that you can't help yourself. I need to close. Thirteen years ago, we went to New York. And we got off down in Chinatown, a whole bunch of us. Darren, Tolliver, Darryl, Tolliver. Sam, Melanie went. I think it's 8 or 10 of us. We did a big sweep. We went to all kinds of places. Went to New York. We got off down in Chinatown. We got to bargaining with them guys to buy some Rolex watches. Sell us some Rolex watches. I said, man, we need some of them. We want them. Heard of them all my life. I want one. We kept bargaining with them and bargaining with them. And man, I remember I got this one down, $120 for five of them.
Yeah.
$120 for five of them. We kept, I said, you ain't cheap enough, man. We got to get cheaper than that. And we kept probing around and talking to men. We found out that guy was the cheapest. So we went back down there, and sure enough, we found him. I said, I'll take those watches. I bought them. We come to the room. We divvied them up. I got one Sam, got one Brother Darrell, got one Darren. Oh, I don't know how many of Tony was with us. We got them. We flew back to Washington, D.C. and was there at Washington and stayed for a day or two. And we went in the mall one night. We was in there gandering around. Me and Sam was together. I said, let's go in this jeweler right here and see what they say about this watch. We took it in there and we threw that Rolex up there. Little blonde come up there and said, can I help you? Yes, we want to know if this watch is real or not. Oh, she picked it up. Yeah, I believe it is. We said, you think so? She said, yeah, it is. I said, what do you think it's worth? She said, well, I don't know. There's one there for $5,000 we got for sale. I assume it's worth $5,000. I wasn't totally convinced, Brother Scott, but if I could have left there and tried to sell it to Andrew, I mean, that would have been all right. But, you know, so, well, okay, thank you. We went on down. We said, let's go into another one. We went to another shop. Throwed it up there. Manager walked up. Can I help you boys? Yes, sir. We bought this watch right here. We want to know if it's real. Okay, let me see it. No, it's not real. Oh, yeah? Well, what makes you think that? You got it. I ain't going to just take your word. You give me some evidence. For one thing, the letters are not big enough. They're pretty close. And he said, I can tell by the weight of it. But he said, you boys have got a good replica. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. There are some replicas out there that are closer than yours. He said, there's some replicas out there that are closer than what you boys bought. But he said, you know the way I have to do on what I have to do on them? He said, I have to open it up. And I go into the inside of it. And when I get on the inside, then I know if it's real or if it's not. Listen, I didn't come here to call you a hypocrite today. I've said it in many services, Brother Andrew, not right with God and trying to make people think I was. Listen, that's not the big bad deal, but the bad deal is the struggle you're having and the war you're going through. I come to tell you, if you'll be willing to give it all up and abandon yourself and buy the gold, you can have it all. The gold will stand the heat. The more heat you put on the gold, the more pure it gets. The gold don't fight back.
Come on, Brother Dwayne.
The gold don't put emphasis on other things other than Christ. I'm not knocking one thing. Brother Tommy, I believe. I believe it. I've got teenage girls. I believe it more and more. But you know what? I'm realizing, Brother Trendon, hallelujah, if my girls are not founded on the rock, they can fool me because I used to be 16 and I fooled mine too. But I'm telling you, if you get on that rock and you buy that gold and you get Christ in your life, I tried at 8. I tried at 15. I tried at 18. And fell down every time because I never paid the price. Hey, listen, I had the Holy Ghost. Oh, now I'm going to lose you. And but I never had bought into the gold. I got to racing four-wheelers. If I just had somebody get behind me, I think I could have done some good. Run out of money and had to quit. Praise God. Come to church one day. Brother Ralph Campbell got up and said, it ain't always going to be like it is today. I ran to the altar, got on my knees and prayed. Everybody gathered around me and I spoke in tongues and got up and never changed. Yes, sir, I believe in speaking in tongues as the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But you can know how to yield to that spirit and run into the church where it's moving and bump into it. It's what Brother Lloyd Shoecraft said, and speak in tongues, but you still ain't really bought into the gold. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm not trying to preach false doctrine. And I'm telling you something today. There's something more than just doing something on, praise God, for an appearance or an image. There is a place you can get where you buy into the gold. I come to tell you something. It'll cost you everything. It'll cost you a crucified life and a sanctified life. I'm going to quit. This man preached awesome at Savannah. And I'm not trying to flatter you, man. But when somebody helps you, just... Brother Dwayne, you made so many good points that day. I don't know what all you preached, but this is what I brought away from it. He likened the outer court, the inner court of the temple, and the holies of holy, to the spirit and the soul and the body. Body being outward, soul being inward. Spirit, holies of holies. Best I remember. This is what he said. The only reason for sacrificing all of those animals, the only reason there was for it, is because God was in the holies of holies. Y'all didn't get that because I probably didn't relate it to you like you did. The only reason for those sacrifices was because of who was dwelling on the inside. If God had not been in the holies of holies, the sacrifice was nothing but a total waste. Listen, I didn't come today to beat up on nobody. I didn't come today to create a division as you or to make you a follower of Dave and Bernie. But I come to tell you today that there is something that you can get a hold of. You can dig down deeper to where there is no confusion and where you don't look at things and say that don't make sense. Yeah, there'll always be some things that may not totally add up, but you can be settled in your own mind when you pay the price and buy the gold. Here we go. Let's stand this morning. In 1995, I did get saved in a chicken house. It was a struggle, Brother Cartwright, because I had tried so many times and failed. Man, I'm reaching for you, young people. If you've been struggling and getting up and falling down, I'm reaching for you today. They invited me to church. That's why they had to find me in the chicken house. It's because I wasn't going to church. I done tried it. Why go? That's where some of you are right here now. Why do I want to come up here? I done tried that. It ain't worked. I'm still falling prey to the same old stuff. Oh, God. Man, I'm reaching for you. Reaching for you today. There's something more than silver. Silver looks good. It'll make people pat you on the back, but it won't stand the test. When you get an attack, silver will let you down. That's why Sister Shirley came to the barn and looked me up. I got saved right there, but I wrestled in that chicken litter. God, I can't do this. That was the problem. I had been trying to do it on my own. I'd been using knowledge and performance, but I'd never bought into the gold. Sister Sue, I was so weary of the struggle of getting saved and then messing up. I got so weary with it. So beat down that I said, it's for mom and dad, but I can't live it. But that day in Chicken Litter, I said, God, I'm tired of all this. I don't know where you're at. I don't even know if I know who you are, really. And it ain't nobody's fault but mine. But I come today to buy me some gold. I come today to get on the rock. I come today to buy something that's stronger than temptation. And I bought into it. Well, I felt like this morning I was going to tell this. I've told it one time in front of my wife before, and she never said nothing. And I'll tell you. But the devil, he tried to get me hooked up with a married woman right a few days before I got saved. Brother Tommy, he'll do it. Listen, if you don't get something more than silver, he's going to get you tangled up where you can't ever get loose if you ain't careful. Me and my wife dealt with a girl yesterday, raised in one of the strictest holiness churches in this whole country. And she cried out and said, I'm so far from God, I can't get back. Would you help me to get home? We text for what seemed like hours yesterday. But you know what? She never bought into the gold. She was convinced that silver was gold. Now she don't know. I said, God, I want gold. I got saved. I called that woman up. I said, it's over. I did move my television out. I did move my rock and roll CDs out. I did empty my refrigerator out. I did have my friend came and pulled up that plant in the backyard. He knew I wasn't going to need it no more, so he grabbed it. But over all that, went and got me a haircut, throwed away my short sleeves. But over all that, I still had to get gold. Man, I know I wish I was a better reacher, but I'm pulling for you today. I'm on your side. I'm against the devil. I'm on your side today. You can have this victory that I'm talking about. It can be yours today. She said, okay, let's have one last talk. I said, no. But just come on, let me come over. I'll sit on one end of the couch. You sit on the other. Let's watch TV. I said, I don't have a television no more. We'll just talk. And I said, no. Man, I'm talking to somebody. I said, no, Brother Keith. No. You're a married woman, besides that you ain't saved. I had been married, she's divorced. No. So Uncle Jim, that wasn't too bad. But she started calling. Like none had ever before. You know what that girl told me yesterday? She said, I can hear the master calling. But she said, the devil's working overtime to destroy me. When you go to buy into gold, it'll be a fight. But it's a fight that's worth it. It's a fight that'll yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's a fight that'll yield victory. My Lord, I know y'all are wanting to hear Brother Dwayne. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. She kept calling. She called and said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm leaving stuff in my mailbox. No. But you know what? I proved right off the bat, Brother Justin, that the gold has got the power to say no. Woo! I knew it wasn't me, Brother Andrew. I'd failed so many times and messed up so many times. But when I trusted Brother Brennan in the gold, it proved out. What are you trusting in today? What's your struggle today? If God was to put a letter on this wall of who you really are, you'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you? Huh? I know right where you're at. I know right where you're at. But we could kick them doors open and walk about 300 yards right down there below the hill at number 3 Dale Burnett Chicken Barn, and I could show you where I got some gold. Ain't nobody ever believed you could buy gold in a pile of chicken litter. But I want to tell you, friend, I found gold at the chicken coop, Brother Darren. It's been 22 years, Brother Scott. By God's grace, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've had to ask a lot of forgiveness to some of you right here in this church. I might still need to ask some. If I do, I will. But by God's grace, there's no black marks there. Only by gold, Brother Darren. It ain't me. I messed up too many times. I know what I'm made out of. But by God's grace, Brother Tommy, he's kept me. I've been under the test a few times. The boiling temperature got hot a few times. I got to looking up this morning the difference between silver and gold. Silver boils at like just a little over 2,000 degrees Celsius. And gold, it's almost 3,000 degrees. Gold will see you through to victory. I'm sorry I did it again. I kept the better man. I've delayed him. I don't think I've kept him. His mom plays here if you... The altars are here today. You know what? You might say, man, there ain't no way I can walk down to that altar today. There ain't no way. I can't do it. But you know what? You'd be better off to walk down this altar today. Throw your hands up and say, I need gold. Than you would to keep going like you're going. Than you would to keep putting your trust in silver. And in false Rolexes. And things that look right. But overall is not right. Things that do not have the power to keep you sanctified. There's a remedy today. If you'd like it as she plays, would you come this morning?
He is to be.
How about it today?
More precious.
Somebody like to buy some gold.
And gold.
Somebody like to buy some gold.
His love doth ever unfold.
How many times have you tried? Have you disappointed yourself? Oh, thank God for at least one honest
treasures.
How many times have you been in the struggle and you wound up giving in? I'm not preaching today that you'll never be tempted. I'm just preaching that there's one that comes within you that's greater than the temptation. It's greater than the trial. It's greater than anything else. It's Christ Jesus. And when you build on Him, friend, you'll still be standing. When the dust is settled and the fight is over, you'll still be here. You'll still be settled. You'll still be going. You'll still be one of His. And should have given up like you always have and just throwing in the towel and saying, I can't do it. I can't do it.
More precious.
You're never going to do it.
Then go.
You've got to buy the gold. You've got to pay the price. Is Jesus
more precious
standing on the outside of your sanctuary today? Is He knocking? Has He been relegated to the outside? Because you've put emphasis on everything else but Him. You've relegated Him out there. You've not put emphasis on Him and trusting Him and seeking Him and building on Him and His commandments.
Untold.
How about it today? That's right. Come on this morning. There's some more out here. There's some more of you. Listen, I used to be right where you're at. I'm not throwing stones today. I'm throwing a lifeline that said there's gold available. There's gold available today. There's gold. You have gold this morning. Oh, don't be satisfied with silver. Go for the gold. Go for the gold this morning.
Been told
that God, you are working your life like you've never been done. Hallelujah. Come on this morning, church. You want to come with the church? God wants to give you something that you've never had. God wants to give you something you've never purchased before. Gold. Gold. Tried in the fire. Gold that is real. Something that'll stand the test. Something will stand up under the pressure.
More precious.